Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman in attendance tonight. Tony Baselli is not. That is the week off. We'll catch up with the big man again next week. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Joe Fortunato's here, too. I'm sure we'll get to him at some point coming up. Plenty to get to today. Biggest news around the Jags today, public relations director Ryan Robinson is out. He's heading to the University of Tennessee. We'll get some thoughts about Ryan coming up. We'll talk defensive backs. They've been a topic this week. Sergio Brown is over in London, part of the big preseason festivities.
I saw a tweet from him to where he was cooking cheeseburgers.
Yes.
Did you see that?
I did not see that.
And I must say that the cheeseburgers looked mighty tasty and large, comparable to the one that me and my son had down there in Orlando that was actually a cheeseburger on, and the buns were Krispy Kreme glazed donuts.
Wow. That's because that's on the program you have, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's totally on my diet.
Of course it is.
Had a burger about an inch and a half thick, bacon, cheese, onions, and the buns were a Krispy Kreme hot donut.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, how was the sugar and the burger together? How'd that work?
It was amazing that they actually came up with something like that, but I can honestly say I would rather have had a good old-fashioned potato roll.
I mean, you describing it, I'm instantly there. Okay, I'll try it.
Right, you had to try it.
But what about the sugar and the meat?
Didn't work.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but it didn't work.
We'll break this down coming up. Go through the tweets from London from Sergio Brown. And Demetrius McCray was on Jaguars.com Live yesterday. We'll get some thoughts about the cornerback position.
Self-promoter.
It's okay. Hey, somebody's got to do it, right? And then big deals in the National Football League this week. A huge contract signed. Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas among those. Justin Houston, too. And we'll go around the National Football League.
Make sure you got Aaron Cromer and you're around the league.
Oh, Cromer, yeah. We got Cromer in there, too.
Good.
Yeah, we got that coming up. So let's start off with Ryan Robinson. He's headed to the University of Tennessee, longtime Jaguars public relations man, most recently the director of public relations, deals with Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley on a daily basis.
He just got recognized from the organization for getting an X number of years that once you're with the organization, you get something.
I believe it was 10 years.
Yeah, I think it's 10 years. Celebrated 10 years with the organization. And Ryan has done a tremendous job, transitioned much more responsibility. Dan Edwards has given him more responsibility, who is his boss, Vice President of Public Relations and Media.
Communications, yes.
And communications, et cetera. And Ryan has done a tremendous job. He really has been there every step of the way with both, first-year general manager Dave Caldwell and a first-time head coach in Gus Bradley, and has been a valuable asset to both of those men. And I know that he's going to be sorely missed from them, but a great opportunity for Ryan to go to a program at the University of Tennessee. First and foremost, they have a great fan base. They have, I think, an up-and-coming head coach tremendous. And so this is a great move. He's obviously going to get paid more.
He is,
and that's a good thing.
Associate AD of Communications. So that is the top dog reporting to the athletic director.
That's a great program to go to.
Program.
I mean, I don't watch a lot of college football, just because you watch so much of the NFL that you just get fatigued from football to watch college football as well. But the one team the one I have watched them, I've really enjoyed watching them, is the style in which that coach. What's the coach's name? I don't even know his name.
Is it Butch Jones?
Butch Jones.
Is that right?
I think that's right. I love his style.
It's changed a lot recently.
I love the way he coaches, and I love the way that his team plays for him. I think sometimes you can watch a football team and the way they play in certain moments of a game, whether you're down by a bunch, or whether you're up by a bunch, or key moments. How do they? Are they rising to the occasion? And I think that's a lot of times it's a direct reflection on the coach. Much like I've talked about Gus Bradley in the past, when this team has been terrible record-wise, they still come out and play every week, even though personnel-wise they've been delinquent. You know, and so I've always said that that's a reflection of the head coach and Gus Bradley. And I think the same thing can be said for Butch Jones up there in Tennessee. I'm a big fan of his, and I've always kind of been a – I don't want to say a closet fan of Tennessee, but I like when they beat the University of Florida.
I knew I didn't like you.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
And when they play Alabama, I am rooting hard for Tennessee.
Third Saturday in October.
Just to needle a little bit of the okay. Gator fans and the – You know, and the Crimson Tide fans.
It happens. But, of course, other great programs there. Women's basketball program, always very good.
One of the best.
The men's program has its moments. You know, baseball program, great. So there's a lot going on in Knoxville, and we know Ryan's going to do
that's a great
well
town,
there.
Though.
It absolutely
that's
is.
A great town.
No doubt about it. And plenty to do for Ryan Robinson. 10 years he's been here. How long have you been with the Jags now? I mean, in the media portion here.
Since 1999.
Okay, since you were done, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, 17 years.
So you've seen, yeah, Ryan the whole time.
17 years, and then plus four as a player.
I'm going to put you on a spot here, then.
Go ahead.
Favorite Ryan Robinson memory over the last 10 years? Anything stand out? All the road trips and the – what we got?
The thing you always remember with Ryan is that every year you had a new weight loss program. Whether it involved shakes, supplement pills, enemas. I mean, there was always something new that was going to get him to step on that scale, and the lights would flash, the confetti would fall, and the balloons would fly. And it was, and I just kept telling Ryan, I said, Ryan, there is no secret. The routine that you need to get on, it's called, instead of push-ups, it's called push-backs. That means push back from the table. I'm not saying that Ryan is overweight or anything, but he was always on this fad that was going to get him in better shape. But no, he's a great guy, yep. You know, go-to guy. Anytime you needed something, he worked his tail off. And I know that a lot of people are used to, you know, some people work 40 hours a week. You know, they work from 9 to 5. When you work the position that Ryan Robinson did, that's not part of the job description. Your job description says that you work when needed. Well, when you're with an NFL franchise in season, you work a lot. And sometimes early in the morning, Gus Bradley's in here sometimes at 5 o'clock in the morning. If Gus Bradley was in here at 5 o'clock in the morning, Ryan Robinson was in here at 5 o'clock in the morning. If Gus Bradley was here until 11 o'clock at night, most of the times Ryan was here until 11 o'clock at night. You know, so I give him a lot of credit. He did whatever it took.
Also, best wishes to Jaguars equipment manager Jimmy Luck. Emergency appendectomy earlier this week. Resting well, though. Had an overnight stay in a local hospital. We wish him the best.
Great guy.
He'll be back.
Man, a few words. My kind of guy.
He doesn't need many because he gets the job done.
Yes,
he
does.
Sure. Plenty to get to tonight. Your calls as well, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. You want to talk defensive backs when we come back?
I'll do it.
Let's do that.
Talk little guys.
Yeah, little guys. A lot of good little guys.
Little guys, too. And one of them is a big guy over the UK.
That's right. We'll get to that coming up. Prime Sport, the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. And guess what? The offseason is almost over. A couple of weeks away from training camp. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Hey, you can get on the field and be part of the pregame action with the Jaguars. We want you to get in the game. 100 lucky winners will be on the field to help welcome the Jaguars during the two home preseason games, August 14th against the Steelers, August 28th against the Lions. To register, Jaguars.com/get-in-the-game. Check it out. Get in the game, Jeff.
I'm always in the game.
You are always. You are. You know what? You are always
in the game.
We appreciate that from you, always. Defensive backs. We mentioned Sergio Brown and the burgers. We've got a little feedback from somebody in the UK that says those burgers are fantastic.
I got to try them. You know, I know that this year we're not going to be in London as long as previous years.
Two nights.
But some way or another, I want to find that burger joint. What's the name of it again?
Easy Eds.
Easy Eds. I got to try Easy Eds over there in London.
Let's guarantee
it's not as good as an American burger, though.
You can follow Sergio Brown at SergioBrown38. And there's plenty of vines and video from this place today. Union Jack's fan club, the Jaguars UK fan club over there, had a big event today with him. And as part of a big preseason media blast, a representative from every team that plays in London this year is over there this week. So Joik Bell, I think, from the Lions is there. Sergio Brown from the Jaguars and such. But it brings up the idea that, hey, guess what? Is Sergio Brown going to be starting this year for this team?
Maybe.
Maybe not, right?
Maybe not. I mean, that's TBD, to be determined. Yeah, I think that that's going to be a great battle.
Free safety.
One thing that I think that they have done an excellent job with in the offseason and through free agency and the draft is creating competition across the board. And Sergio Brown is likely to start, especially considering that Sample broke his arm in the minicamp, OTAs, whichever one it was, I can't remember. And it's unfortunate. But he will be back at some point for training camp. But it's going to be a battle. But it's not just Sample. It's Josh Evans too. I mean, people have a tendency to kind of write him off, you know. But people also have to remember that Josh Evans over the last couple of years has dealt with a number of injuries, whether it been foot or shoulder injuries or other minor nagging injuries. That slows a player down and slows their development down. And I think that now that he's had an off season, he's gotten some things fixed, that he's going to have an opportunity to compete. And I think that he will compete. You know, Josh Evans is a good football player. He's not a great football player yet, but he's a good football player, and he loves the game. And I love the way he practices. I love the way he plays. He's played hurt. There was a game, I think, last year where his shoulder was popping out, but he kept on playing. And, you know, you got to give him credit for being a tough guy.
Your shoulder ever pop out? I'm sure it did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Keep playing?
Absolutely. Medication's a good thing, JP.
That's for sure. So, yeah, quite a battle in the back end. And that should only help, you know, whoever, if they can get somebody there at the free safety spot. It hasn't been a spot the last couple of years the Jaguars have had much consistency.
No, but that's the position, you know, as much as we say, okay, you know, we're excited about Jonathan Cyprien after year one, and then year two you're like, well, you know, we want to see more out of him. The free safety position is a much more impactful position when it comes to balls. And I'm saying, when I say balls, I'm talking turnovers, takeaways.
Yeah.
So you want to find somebody at that position that can be a game changer, momentum changer, that can get his hands on the football and not drop it. And that's the one thing, that's why I said way back in the springtime after watching the film of Sample at the University of Louisville that I thought that when he came into camp that he would win the job. When you watched his college tape, when the ball was in the air and he got his hands on it, he made the play. Now, he's probably a little bit more adept at being in the box,
sure,
in a Jonathan Cyprien role, but it looks like that he's got the range, and he certainly has the ball skills to be able to make those types of plays. So it's going to be interesting to watch. And Sergio Brown, I don't think that, you know, first of all, they didn't pay him salary-wise to come in and just be a day one immediate starter. They brought him in pay-wise to come in and compete. But the one thing about Sergio Brown that you know you're getting, at a minimum, is a fantastic special teams player. Fantastic special teams player, and that's big. That's where a guy is going to be able to be a backup if that's his best role, and is going to be active on game days because he is a core four guy, which is punt return, kickoff, and kickoff return. He will be outstanding on special teams. Even if he's a starter, he will be on special teams.
A little more special teams coming up because there's an article on Jaguars.com, self-promotion again, with Leroy Reynolds today, who's that type of guy. We'll get to that coming up, though, but when the safety spot is determined, that only can help the cornerbacks too, right? Because they're already good as it is.
It's going to help them, but
I
mean,
help on the back end.
I'm a big believer that corners help the safeties more than anything.
Okay,
you know, the one area that the safeties help the corners more than the corners helping the safeties. Performance wise, the corners help the safeties, but communication has to be on the safeties. You know, they're the center fielders, the captains of the ship, so to speak, of the secondary. They're the ones that are responsible for communicating all the calls to each side of the field to the corners, because the corners have to have somewhat of blinders on when they play the position, to where they're worried about one guy and that guy's directly in front of them. They don't see the field, so they can't sit there and see that, okay, it's, you know, the split on this guy on the right, other side of the field is this, which would mean this for me. That stuff has to be communicated back and forth between the safety positions. So verbally, the safeties are huge. Performance-wise, the corners.
The corners are in pretty good shape for this team right now, knock on wood. I mean, you got Devon House here now in free agency. He should start at one of those spots.
Maybe. I mean, hey, look, it's competition now.
Let's name them. Devon House, Demetrius McCray, Colvin, Gratz are really the top four guys.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Aaron Colvin. You know, and I know that Gus Bradley, Pete Carroll, you know, they like that same style of Richard Sherman cornerback that's got the height, weight, length to be able to play press. And Aaron Colvin may not measure up to those numbers, that, you know, the perfect type corner. But hey, look, it doesn't matter, because if it did, going old school, Pat Fisher would not be what he is. Heck, you look at the great Dwight Freeney. Wouldn't have been a great pass rusher if you just looked at his height, weight. Robert Mathis wouldn't be a great pass rusher if you looked at his height, weight. Height, weight, it helps, but it's not everything. And Aaron Colvin has great feet. He's got great work ethic. And the one thing that he has, that I'm a big believer that sometimes you just can't coach things, awareness. Aaron Colvin has great awareness. You can watch him when, even going all the way back to when he was at college, you would watch him when he would play a zone and he would have the receivers running routes behind him. He would just have an innate ability to drift or float one way or the other without turning his head back around and know, because that, to me, that's about route awareness. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Colvin does a great job with it. He's bar none, period, the starting corner, but he may, we'll see, may end up being a starting corner and then move to the starting nickel when they go to their nickel package.
Because that's the idea that a lot of times these days in the league, that the nickel corner plays almost as much as an outside guy.
Well, I think the last number that I heard from talking to the statistic guys, the nickel defense is about 65% of the defensive snaps in an NFL game.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and obviously that depends on what division you're in. You know, some teams in each division play the game a little bit differently. But that is essentially a starting position anymore. In fact, there's been some debate and some teams have already done this on their own, but there's been some debate to where should they just go ahead and announce an extra corner, a nickelback, instead of a linebacker? Because, I mean, that's what the game's become.
It's interesting to see. It really, let's name them right now. You have to name a starting defensive backfield today with a nickelback. Who you got? Right now.
Well, I mean, obviously Cyprian and safety's hard, just because you don't know what sample's going to be.
But today, sample's hurt right now.
Yeah, so it's going to be Sergio Brown.
Okay, that's
Sergio Brown until Sample gets up to speed.
Outside corners.
McCray and Devon House.
Okay.
And then Colvin will be your nickel.
So Gratz is the odd man out right now.
That's right.
In your opinion.
That's right.
But that can obviously training camp is the reason.
Gratz has, you know, he's had some moments where he's looked really good. But he's also had some moments where you go, what are you doing? And I'm talking where you have young players make mistakes, and then you expect them to learn from them, and then it doesn't happen again, you know, simple ones. Every now and again, he has a mistake that really is unforgivable. And so until he cleans that part out of his game, and a lot of times that happens when a player gets kind of overwhelmed with trying and putting the blinders on. When I talk about the blinders of corner, he has to have blinders on. Yeah. He also has to be able to turn the head to make the blinders point in a direction, have some awareness of what's going to be coming. And that's something that Dwayne Gratz has to work on.
It takes time, though, for a lot of guys
sometimes.
It's
experience.
Yeah.
And it's experience. And that, you know, McCray's got a lot more snaps, or at least it feels like he's got a lot more snaps. And Devon House obviously has a lot of experience compared to Gratz. So you're going to go with the guys that are experienced. And Devon House got paid like a starter. You know, not a premier starter, but he got paid like a starter. Still, so you'd expect that he would be in the lineup.
He'll be starting. Going back to something we mentioned a second ago, you mentioned Sergio Brown could be a four-core special teams guy. Well, we had a visit earlier, actually during OTAs, sat down with Leroy Reynolds, Jaguars linebacker, a reserve linebacker, started three games last year. But in a special teams role, led the team in special teams tackles last year, 10 of those.
Very good special teams player.
Is he the best special teams four-core guy on the team right now? Is he that kind of guy?
No, I mean, he's one of the best, but I don't want to say he's the best, but he's one of the best. And I think the one thing that he definitely obvious to the naked eye was he came in lighter, he came in faster. And I think the one difficult part for Leroy was over the last year was playing multiple positions. And linebackers have to be able to cross train because, you know, especially if you're the fourth guy or the fifth guy, you have to learn multiple positions. So when you're called upon, you're ready to roll. And for some guys, that's hard to do. You know, and I think Leroy, they kind of had him out of position. Leroy's perfect position really is Mike, which is the middle linebacking position. But is he going to beat out Paul Posluszny? No. You know, because he's a striker. He's a box player. You know, so they had him playing weak side. They had him playing strong side or Otto and Will, if you want to use the proper terminology. You know, so I think, you know, focusing on special teams is going to be good for him. And then at some point, if he can focus in on one position, but it's probably going to be a while because they got some other guys that are going to be starters, that will be good for him, and I think he'll improve.
Undrafted guy, too. So this is year three for him coming up. Big year for Leroy Reynolds.
Yeah, and you see the biggest jump from year one to year two, typically with most guys. But you got to remember, he had the suspension, you know, which kind of set him back a little bit. And
four-gamer his rookie year.
And then you have, you know, the merry-go-round at the three different positions that he was playing. And that doesn't help. So, you know, but when you get more experience, even though you're on that merry-go-round of all three positions, sometimes that actually helps you get better because once you learn all three positions, it helps you understand the defense better. And that's a good thing.
Which is exactly what he said when we sat down with him. Check it out on Jaguars.com. Right now, interesting to see his what goes into learning those three positions, the extra work it takes in the film room and at home at night after practice and such.
The good thing, too, this defense that the Jaguars play, and I'm not trying to be funny, it's simple. They don't do a lot. I mean, they really don't. You know, there's kind of two philosophies in playing defense. One is to trick them up. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're trying to outfox, outsmart the offense. And then there's a philosophy that says, here's what we are, we're going to line up, and we're going to do three things. And we're going to do three things really good. And that's the way they play defense here. That's the way the Seattle Seahawks play defense. Very simple, but they're good at the simple things that they do. They're very sound fundamentally. So that's the one good thing for a guy like Leroy Reynolds, that there's not a lot of complicated things to this defense.
Get more in 2015. Become a Jags season ticket member. You'll get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call and speak to an account manager at 633-2000. Big contracts in the NFL signed this week. We'll break them all down in a moment. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. Tony Buscelli is out tonight. He'll be back next week. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. Glad you're with us. I got to mention also, of course, the Jaguars training camp starts the 31st. Is the first day the Jaguars are on the field. That's 2 weeks away, Jeff. How about that?
Yeah, but so we're running out of free time.
Yeah, that's right. You better get it in while you can. 10 practices open to the public. You have to register for tickets, though, at jaguars.com/training camp events. 10 open practices. One of those is down at Mandarin High School. Another is the scrimmage inside Everbank Field. So it is coming very quickly.
That's a great thing. I mean, there's a lot of organizations that when you have a new offense coordinator, you know, you might restrict it even more. So, I mean, 10 open practices, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's not very many. Well, that's basically 10 days.
That's about normal for here, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's about right. Yeah. That's about right.
And they're all early practices, so the later practices
and they'll get the real
closed.
Practices. They won't get the walkthroughs.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's all good.
But in terms of the whole training camp and getting ready for the season, the 10 practices are early in the training camp schedule, so the real stuff, a lot of times we put in later. Well, once the preseason games get going, right?
Well, it's not like it's rocket science, and you need to have armed guards protecting the secret formula. I mean, Colonel Sanders is not out there whooping up a new batch of fried chicken, okay? What you have here is a football team, okay? And so even though you have Greg Olsen, a new offensive coordinator, some of the basic things are what everybody runs in football. But there will be certain little twists and stuff that I'm sure that they will – hold off until after those 10 practices are over with. But the bulk and the foundation, it's football.
Don't overthink it, huh, is what you're saying.
No.
Big contracts this week in the National Football League. Dez Bryant is the one that was the most, highly publicized of that, but Demaryius Thomas was mixed in on that at the same time. They ended up signing on the same day for big-time money, 5 years, $70 million, each one of those guys. Are they worth that kind of money, first off?
I mean, that's the going rate for a wide receiver, you know, and neither one of them have surpassed, which is kind of surprising given that Calvin Johnson's contract was a few years ago, but he's, I think, in the average of right around $16 million per year, and these guys are both right around 14, a little over 14. That's the going rate for a marquee wide receiver, and these two guys are clearly, Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas are simply fantastic players. Demaryius Thomas should go and buy Peyton Manning whatever he wants, because if he does not have Peyton Manning, I don't know if he ends up where he's at. Now, he would be good because he is a great player on his own right. But you look at what Peyton Manning has done to the receivers that he's played with, whether it be Marvin Harrison or Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark, Wes Welker. He's done tremendous things for him.
Julius Thomas.
I mean, Julius Thomas should have sent Peyton a parting gift. Guarantee that. I mean, that's a – you know, but it didn't surprise me either, and I don't know if you had a chance to read Stephen Jones, which is Jerry Jones' son, who handles the contract negotiations for the Dallas Cowboys. For the most part, Jerry's involved with it as well. Jerry's involved with everything.
Yes, he is.
And you know, we've said this before. When in years past, a lot of Jaguar fans would get nervous about a draft pick and he's not signed yet, you know, and it's 3 days away from training camp. And I always said this, look, what's the reason to have it done now? You got to have a deadline, you know, and you have a deadline with franchise tags. And Stephen Jones explained this. He said, look, at the end of the day, it's all about timeline. And you have to have a number that you're comfortable with, that you're talking about in advance of that deadline, and that fits your team and the structure of your team this year and in years forward. And he says, then when you start getting to the deadline, everybody's willing to be a little bit more flexible, as long as it's kind of along the lines of what you were thinking about. So it's all about deadlines. You know, it doesn't surprise me that Jason Pierre-Paul did not get done, with all the uncertainty with having his finger amputated and such.
Yes.
And I get that. But it does not surprise me that all of these franchise tag guys got signed for a couple reasons. One, if you have to carry that cap hit of a single-year deal, there's no amortization. So, in other words, that cap hit for the franchise tag, which, for example, defensive end would be, what is it, $14.8 million or something like that, that happens now on your salary cap. Whereas Demaryius Thomas and Dez Bryant, the signing bonus, the guaranteed money, it gets spread out, so your cap hit is much less typically in the first couple years. So another reason to have for have motivation to get a long-term contract done with these franchise tag guys. Some teams might not able have been able to afford it.
That's true, right. I'm not going to ask you a personal financial question, but I'm going to guess you're about 20 years too late because Justin Houston.
Well, you know what? And Justin Houston, what did he get?
6 years, $101 million, $52.5 million guaranteed. And he's bigger than J.J.
He's worth
Watt.
Every penny because that's what the market is. I mean, that's what the market is. And I remember when I came in the league, you know, Joe Klecko, Marty Lyons, all those guys that were great players long before I came in the league weren't making a lot of money. And they were seeing contracts that I got or that other guys in the league got at that time. They're like, man, I can't believe you're making all that money. And I remember saying to myself at that time, I'm not going to be like them. You know, I don't want to have that the regret or the disdain for the current player because you know what? That's what the market is. You know, more power to them. I mean, Justin Houston is the best pass rusher in the National Football League. The best. Well, look at his numbers. His numbers don't lie. And he deserves every penny that he gets because that's what the market says it is. Good for him.
Who's the next best pass rusher? Just edge rusher like him.
Well, I mean, Robert Mathis, if he were healthy.
He's getting old.
Yeah. The last time he played, he was arguably the best. But that's a great question. The guy in St. Louis, I think. Robert Nunn? Wait a minute. Oh, the great pass rusher in St. Louis.
Yeah. Also, another signing this week, Guskowski, the kicker for the Patriots.
Yeah, and I think that deal averages $4 million a year. You know, I mean.
Scobie's close to that, right?
I remember.
Scobie's three.
I'll never forget this, JP. We had a thing in New York we called Monday Club. And the philosophy was we win, we celebrate. We lose, we have a booze. We have a drink. And we would always gather at this particular watering hole, and it was on Mondays, and we got paid on Mondays back then. And Kenny O'Brien, who was our starting quarterback at that time, was making, I think it was $1.3 million. Mm-hmm. Which back then, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I think I was making $130. So his check, literally his weekly take-home check, was 10 times what mine was.
Wow.
And I remember sitting at the bar next to Kenny. We're having a beer. I said, hey, Kenny. And we weren't talking anything about contract. I said, can I see it? And he goes, see what? I said, I just want to look at your check.
See what the check
I
looks like.
I just want to
like.
See what your check
what
looks
that even
like.
Look
right?
Like?
Right? So he said, and of course he had it in his pocket. I mean, we got paid on Mondays. We got our checks on Mondays. He pulled it out and he let me look at it. I'm like, oh my God, look at the size of that check. You know, and that, you got guys now making that in a week, what he was making in a year. You know, good for them. Good for them.
You're thinking of Robert Quinn or Chris
Robert
Long.
Quinn, great player.
Robert Quinn for the St. Louis Rams. It's a similar story.
Pure pass rusher?
Yeah.
I mean, he is fantastic. He's got great first step. He's got tremendous lean. Great knee bend. He's got everything that you want. And I don't remember his name because you don't see the Rams much. I went back to the old name.
You almost Cardinals. Went St. Louis Cardinals.
Almost said Cardinals.
How about
I'm getting old.
Yeah, you are. Jeez. Oh, that story reminded me of one similar baseball story. Alex Rodriguez, same kind of thing.
Yeah, $25 million
a year.
A year, yeah.
Some rookie from AAA comes up. He's making the league minimum $430 a year. Sees the
which
the
is a lot of money
slip, and it's like, oh my goodness!
I remember when I got my first paycheck. I was like, you're really going to pay me this amount of money to play football? Are you kidding me? This is a great country. What a country! I love it.
The Jaguars have introduced the Small Business Breakthrough. Web.com and the Jags launching the new program, rewarding one small business with an NFL club sponsorship. You need to register, though, at a website, bigstagebigresults.com, and get more information. We'll come back and look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Coming up this Saturday, the Jaguars Moms Clinic at Everbank Field. Area moms invited to learn proper equipment fitting, concussion awareness, heat and hydration, and USA Football's Heads Up football program. To register for free, visit Jaguars.com and click the Community tab and follow the links to Moms Clinic. I'll be there, too.
Good for you.
Hosting. That'll be a fun event on Saturday. About
how come you always end up hosting these women's events, JP?
I host a lot of other events, too. It's just we happen to read about a lot of the other ones. I don't know.
Sure you
do.
I
don't know. Hey, I'm just saying.
Joe, am I just... Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Joe, for backing me up on that. I just want to make sure that...
Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars Thursday rolls along. It's time for a 360-degree look quickly around the National Football League.
Yeah, way to be quick there.
Presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. The House of Representatives in Washington has passed the Steve Gleason Act. Changes to Medicare last year no longer covered speech-generating devices for patients that have diseases such as ALS, like Steve Gleason, the former New Orleans Saints player. That would be reversed if passed. It already passed the Senate, now the House, now waiting for President Obama to sign it into law. Gleason went to Congress himself and tried to get this overturned, and it's on the cusp of being overturned. And, of course, Gleason was the player for the Saints who had the block punt in the first game back in the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina. That's his most notable moment on the field, but now fighting an even bigger fight off the field.
Yeah, and I mean, good for him. He has certainly displayed a tremendous amount of courage in his fight, and it's heartwarming and also very sad at the same time to watch somebody who was so strong and capable to basically have their physical life robbed of them. And but good for him for fighting the good fight, and that's good that they did that. And it's almost like anymore. Does anybody even talk anymore? Is it just like texting and emails anymore now anyway?
What do you mean?
I mean, the amount of communication from person to person has dropped considerably.
That's right. You're right.
In some cases, that's good. In some cases, that's not good.
Obviously, I'm much younger than you, Jeff, obviously. So you said it yourself. You're getting old.
I have more hair than you, JP.
That's
so
true.
How do you figure
mine
that that's obvious?
Mine is not all gray like your goatee.
I don't
have anyway,
a goatee, but I'm
just
ahead.
Saying, but in the very few amount of years I've been on the earth, one of the big moments was that block punt when that team was back. One of the most memorable moments since I've been watching the NFL was that block punt, the first punt back in the dome.
Yeah.
The place went nuts. It was unbelievable.
And it was trying time. You know, at that point, you know, for the victims of Hurricane Katrina, the residents of New Orleans and Louisiana and the Gulf Coast states. And so that was a big moment because it gave people a reason to cheer. And I think he'll forever be remembered because that was at a time that a lot of people were just looking for something to cheer about.
And there he's actually forever outside of the Superdome now. There's a statue of that play outside of the Superdome. Russell Wilson could be playing for only $1.5 million this year. Could play the season without a new deal. Will he play the season without a new deal?
Hey, look, Russell, if you don't like 1.5, okay, let's take a time machine and go back when guys were making 80 and happy, you know? I mean, I understand that, look, the market for quarterback is, you know, $17-18+ million.
Is he going to get that?
He'll get paid a lot of money. He's going to make a lot of money because he's a great player. You know, but I think the one thing that Russell Wilson needs to learn is to not talk about things. And I think that's one thing that Peyton Manning has been so good at. I mean, from the neck to the divorce with the Indianapolis Colts to the pay cut, Peyton never talks about money, you know. And fans don't want to hear you talking about money and whining about $1.5 million. Because average Joe is working 9-to-5 and not making that. You know, you're making more than him in a week. So stop talking about it. Just shut up. okay, and play, okay? Everything will take care of itself when it gets taken care of. I just had to vent.
That's a social media thing, right? I mean, is that something to do with it?
Yeah, just, I mean, the Twitter by
well,
him.
You're on Twitter now. Hey, you're on Twitter
now.
Yeah,
you know what, though? I'm not sitting there tweeting about money. I'm tweeting about good things, man.
Like what? Like what are you tweeting
like
about?
Like fish and sunrises and the outdoors and every now and again, you know, putting lipstick on a pig or something. You know, something fun and good and entertaining. And I'm not sitting there complaining or trying to have a campaign through social media. Come on, grow up.
I think I saw you about to carve sheep's head on there one time or something.
I sent one out to Tony Khan on that.
That's a pretty good
dinner,
idea.
Dinner bells ringing.
I think I remember that. That's important stuff.
Tony's social.
Yeah, that's right. One of his teammates, Russell Wilson's teammates, of course, is Marshawn Lynch. Running back, you might have heard of him.
Love the guy.
Earlier this week, though, he had a community event down in Oakland where he was playing kickball with underprivileged kids and kids who'd been in trouble. Mm-hmm. Well, from Seahawks.com, John Boyle is the writer there now. Quote, at one point, Lynch has delivered some chicken wings on the field and stuffs a few extras in his socks. Yes, you read that right. For a few minutes, this millionaire Pro Bowl running back was coaching football on a warm July afternoon with chicken wings in his socks, which he later removed and ate.
Good for him. I love chicken wings.
What flavor were
they? I had some last Friday, matter of fact.
Yeah?
I had...
Have you ever had one in your sock first and then ate it?
No, I've never done that. I typically go for the Ziploc and then, you know, the pocket. But I had garlic parmesan, Daytona, medium buffaloes, and one other. Can't remember what it was. No, I was at the Famous Owl.
Yeah. That's right. They have no bread on them, right?
Well, I got some with bread and some without. Yeah.
There you go.
It's good stuff.
This show has a food theme. We started out with the burgers with the Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh, it's because I'm hungry.
We moved on to sheep's head.
It's like 2 minutes before 7. Okay, and this show falls at dinner time. It's hard not to talk about food or think about food this time of the day.
This is the dog days of the Dead Zone, by the way, which is why that story is a
story. Dead Zone for football,
but
it's by far a dead zone for me, I can tell you that.
Is it?
Yeah, there's lots of things to do in the outdoors, JP. Lots of things to do.
What have you been doing? So we wrap up the show here.
Well, I'm actually going to be visiting some friends of mine at Cabin Bluff in the next couple days up there, in a nice little a retreat. Hunting, fishing lodge up
there. That's a nice place. Never been
behind Cumberland Island. Fantastic place. Are you trying to get an invite there?
All right. Okay.
We'll be up there with my good friends Ron Gibson and Dave Edwards, spending a little bit of time with them. Looking forward to that. And the cool thing about being up there is that it's almost like getting to a completely different part of the country in a lot of ways. There's wild horses on Cumberland Island. There's very little boat traffic. It's like kind of going back old school to, I'm sure, what parts of Florida used to be, where you kind of had it to yourself and you almost felt like somewhat of an explorer, a Jacques Cousteau in some respects. You know, you kind of uncharted waters, uncharted areas. You know, it's all new. It's fun. It's fun stuff, man. Huh? Trying to enjoy the last bit of free time.
Got to do it while you can.
Absolutely.
I got breaking news for you. I still can't fly fish for anything.
Well.
It's a work in progress, Jeff. But this is the time to do it because once the week of July 31st rolls along.
That's why they call it fishing, JP. They don't call it catching. They call it fishing.
That's a good point, actually.
By the way, you didn't get to Aaron Cromer, and I asked you to do that.
Aaron Cromer, yeah. What about
okay.
Aaron
Buffalo. Cromer, the offensive line coach for the Buffalo Bills, formerly of the Chicago Bears, decided that he was tired of some young kids taking his beach chair somewhere in Florida and decided to punch a juvenile. Okay, under the age of 18, who was all of like 5'4", 160 pounds, 5'6", 160 pounds, and Aaron Cromer 6'4", 215 pounds, and punches a kid, and then threatens his family's lives if he tells anybody. Give me 5 minutes with Aaron Cromer. Give me five.
Could he be done?
Could he be done?
Yeah,
he'd been done in 5 minutes with me.
We'll see you next week. Jeff Lagerman, JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Thursday. Jaguars Radio.